Zion is calling me to a higher place,
yes,
a praise, yes, to stand upon the mountain and to magnify,
yes, God, the name. Yes, God.
Tell all the people in every nation that just keep it right there. He want to hear you sing it. Say,
Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise.
All over the building, keep it right there. Just worship, say it.
Zion is calling me to a higher place of praise. To stand upon.
Tell all the people.
Praise to you.
Glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
That's the reason why I sing.
Come on and help me say glory.
Glory, hallelujah.
I give the praises to you.
I give the praises to you.
Oh, glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
You're the reason.
You're the reason why I sing.
Oh, you are my hope for tomorrow, Jesus.
You're the reason why I sing.
Oh, you're my joy in the midnight.
You're the reason why.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. While you're yet standing, turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts, the 10th chapter, starting at the 34th verse. There's a name that I love to hear. It soothes my doubts and it calms my fears. Oh, how I love, and I love. There's a name that gives me so much pleasure. He can make it rain in the middle of the desert. Oh, how I love, and I love. Are we there? Jesus. Starting at the 34th verse. Acts, the 10th chapter, the 34th verse. The Bible says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto his children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and slew him openly. Not of all, and showed them openly. Not of all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him, and after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, that they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You may be seated. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, say, "Fall, Holy Ghost." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. I want to draw your attention to one word in this verse. Fail. Fail. That word has captured my attention this morning, saints. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. First of all, it tells me that what is happening is the work of the Spirit. It tells me that the Holy Ghost is the initiator. It doesn't say they jumped up and grabbed it, or they reached out and took hold of the Holy Ghost. It says the Holy Ghost fell on them. It doesn't. Second, that word means to fall upon, to rush, to press upon, to come suddenly upon, to come forcibly upon, to seize or take possession of. One definition even says to strike, to hit. In other words, the Holy Ghost came in an undeniable, indisputable manner. It was a tangible, heavy manifestation of the power of God. They were visibly and physically affected. They felt it. And anyone present could see the effects of the Holy Spirit upon them. As I read this scripture, my mind went to other places in the Bible where God failed. Bible tells us that in 1 Chronicles, the 21st chapter and the 26th verse, David made an altar to the Lord and called upon the Lord God, and called upon the Lord, and God answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. 2 Chronicles 7:1 said Solomon had made a great sacrifice to the Lord. When he had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices. These were also undeniable, indisputable, irrefutable, visible, tangible manifestations of the power of God. Then the one that really stands out was when Elijah squared off with Ahab and the false prophets of Baal upon Mount Carmel. False prophets and the true prophet, the man of God, Elijah, came to an agreement. They both would build an altar. Listen, sometimes you just have to stand toe to toe and let the devil know that I'm not taken down today, tomorrow, or no other day. But right now, here and now, let's find out what's going to happen. I believe my God. See, the fact of the matter is, Elijah said, I'm sick of this mess. I ain't hiding no more. I ain't scared no more. Listen, I'm going to give you an opportunity to show me if your God got any power. Because I know my God got power. See, the fact of the matter is, I done already read where God had already rained fire from heaven. It was nothing new for it to happen. But Elijah was sick and tired of Baal. How many of us have got tired of everything going on in your life? It's because you hiding from the devil instead of confronting. You pay the mortgage. You pay the gas and the lights and folks running you in a corner in your own house. The devil is a lie. So what did Elijah do? He called him. He said, look here, I'm going to give you some time. I need you to build an altar and I need you to do whatever you got to do. But the God that answers by fire. See, fire is motivational. Fire will either move or remove. Yeah. Fire, when fire get on you, it has a way of motivating you to do things that you didn't normally do, that you wouldn't do. If you ain't ran in 10 years, get some fire behind you. Fact of the matter is, they would both build altars and offer sacrifices, but put no fire on it. So, y'all know how the story goes. Elijah start clowning them because they out there begging their God. Begging Baal to do something Baal couldn't do. Answer by fire. Begging Baal to make sure that they wouldn't look like fools. Y'all better hear me. If you got another God other than Jesus, I don't care how long you beg. I don't care how many steps you take. I don't care what goes on. You can beg all you want. He still won't be the God of my salvation. So, Elijah started poking fun at him. He starts saying maybe he on the phone, or maybe he sleep, or maybe he taking a nap, or maybe, you know, maybe he had a cold and took some NyQuil. Y'all know how the story goes. He start poking fun at him. But they really believed. This one lets me know they believed that their God, in their God, they start cutting themselves. They figured maybe a little blood would get his attention. That's a mess. But when they was done cutting themselves and calling and looking ignorant, the Bible tells us that Elijah had them tear down and the altar and put a fresh sacrifice on it and put some more wood on it. And as a matter of fact, just so y'all won't be confused, put some water, 12 barrels of water on this sacrifice. And he called out to the Most High God. And God came down, licked up the altar, the sacrifice, the water, and the dust. Now the God that answers by fire. Listen, when it comes down to it, you got to get in a place to yourself where you know that God will answer you. So at that moment, they experienced the tangible manifestation of the power of God. The power of God fell upon the mountain, upon the altar, and that sacrifice. Then my mind goes to Acts 2:1-4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came the sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The fire fell on David's altar. The fire fell on Solomon's altar. The Holy Ghost fire of God, the power of God fell at Mount Carmel. The Holy Ghost fire fell on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost fire fell on the Gentiles in Cornelius' house. In every case, Old and New Testament, the fire of the Holy Ghost fell. But I'm concerned today. I'm concerned that there's a generation of people that have never seen the consuming fire of God fall on anything. I'm concerned. Why am I concerned? Because folks sit and look and worry and cower under the power of the devil. The devil got folks confused. Well, I don't want to speak out. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to do this. Hey, look. If you know that there's a consuming fire, if you know what the word says about you, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, if you understand that your promotion don't come through your from your boss, but through your boss. Bosses be sitting there like, I don't know why I like this cat. I don't even like him, matter of fact, but I'm going to promote him. See, but there's a generation that know God in theory. Know God religiously. If I don't go to church, I just don't feel right all week. This ain't about a feeling. They know God mentally, intellectually. But they have never had a Mount Carmel day of Pentecost, House of Cornelius encounter with the fire of God falling on them. They've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost seizing them and taking possession of them. They have never experienced the supernatural fire of God burning in their hands and in their feet. To so many people in this generation today, the fire of God is just a concept. It's just an ideal. And Mother Whitehead and Mother McCullum Taller told the kids about in Sunday school. It's just something they heard about. They ain't never seen demons cast out. Let me make this clear to y'all. Folks be full of demons. And saved folks walk right past him and make jokes. That's a shame. He possessed. And when you have the power on the inside of you to help that person. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Sometimes, you know, I done did it myself. Saw somebody full of something. I remember I was out in Ford Heights. And I was speaking at Sister Argue's church at the time. And it was a young man, me and Mark get out the car. And he got a 40 ounce. He ain't got it in a paper bag. And it ain't but about that much left. And I said something just as ignorant. How you feeling? Mark said, you know how he feeling. He one cup away from the bottom of the 40. He full of spirits. And I thought, how silly am I? Why didn't I give him what I had when I was on my way in the building to tell folks about? Why in the world? Because I've got messed up at that time. But today, my concern has become imminent. I got to tell you about a God that answers by fire. All I can say, if you did it for them, do it again. You can do it at Cornelius' house. You can do it in this house. If you can do it on the day of Pentecost, you can do it right now. Because I read in my Bible, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The fire from on high is not just religious rambling. It's not just a concept that was wrote in the Bible to make you think that God has powers he don't have, but he really can heal you. He really can deliver you. He really will dry up some things. Let me make this clear to y'all. Doctors can cut a disease thing out of your body, but then God has to heal you. Don't miss this. But the Holy Ghost fire of God can go in and take the disease part out. You don't need no stitches. You don't need no pint of blood. And everything around it will still be healed. And you ain't got to wait on recovery. Heroin addicts don't go through withdrawals. When the Holy Ghost, fire-filled, burning power of the Most High God, deliver them. Some folks will have you confused. Well, Pastor Tim, that's how it happened to some folks. Listen here. When you turn stuff over to Jesus, he take care of the business. He take care of the business. I ain't telling you what I heard about. I came home one Thursday morning because it'd been gone a couple days. Because I was what? Possessed. But my wife was still praying for me. But I made up in my mind that if for God I live and for God I'll die, anything that'll keep you out all night and not send you home to hell, it's got to be the devil. I denounce it tonight. I went in there, put my uniform on because I was still in the U.S. Air Force. And when I got there, the guy said, hey, all the planes, they're in Florida. There's a big storm out there. Ain't nothing coming in. You in charge, Sergeant Jones. God left me all by myself. I'm out on the flight line. I'm in charge of nothing. But I'm in charge. And I sat out there and I said, God, this can't ever happen to me again. Again. I said, God, I cannot. I will not. If you save me, I'll make sure everybody know you did it. And I'll never act like this again. You know what? When I got home from work that day, she thought I'd lost my mind. I'd come in cleaning house. Too short? Gotta go. Too live crew? Gotta go. Blow fly? Gotta go. All you demon-possessed rappers? Gotta go. And she was looking at me, what is he doing? I had CDs, I hadn't even took out the plastic. Gotta go. Then she was like, what you looking for? She thought I lost my mind. I'm looking all over. Because, you know, when you messed up in sin, I'm looking for this bottle of liquor I didn't hear from her. I knew it was somewhere. But it had to get out of my house. Because I was serious about doing what I promised God. I made a vow to the Lord. And I remember that it's better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. So I'm sitting in church Sunday morning. Pastor preaching to the saints. Bishop wasn't preaching to me. And I'm sitting there going, will you hurry up so I can get saved? I couldn't even amen him because I was ready to go to the altar where everything that was in me got an opportunity to get burned up out of me. And when I walked out of that church that day, I showed up. Let me tell you how crazy I was. Tuesday night, I got to go back to church. But she ain't ready. I left her. Dr. Kobe looking at me, where your wife? She wasn't dressed. Go home and get her. We'll be here when you get back. See, somebody had to teach me. I was full of zeal, but I was still ill. I had no sense. He said, go home and get her. That's who prayed you in here. Hell, I don't know what you're thinking. Whatever God got for you, he got for her too. Now go get her. And some of us have lost our minds. We haven't let God burn things out of us. We just come and get a good feeling and we like the way the music sounds, but that ain't what God wants you to have. He wants you to be free of everything that the enemy has tried to put on you. And if it can happen in Cornelius' house, if it can happen on the day of Pentecost, if it can happen on Mount Carmel, it can happen right now. What makes it so good is it comes forcibly. It fell on them. They was there. They heard the word. That's why you got quit missing church. Because when they all heard the word, it said when Peter spoke and they heard the word, the Holy Ghost fell on them forcibly. Tangibly, they felt it, and everybody around them knew something different had happened to them. When I got back to work that week, my buddy said, hey, Mike Tyson fighting Buster Douglas, you coming? I see you there. But they looking at me a little strange. When I showed up to the door and I didn't have two cases in my hand. They knew if Tim come, party favorites come. But I wasn't interested in party favorites. I wanted to see Mike Tyson fight, but I can't do what we used to do. Guess what? They didn't call me no more to their house. I didn't have to get rid of friends. Friends got rid of me. Tell me, real pastor, you don't know how hard it is. We've been hanging together for a long time. You start living right. You start doing right. And you ain't got to worry about your chronic breathing heathen friends. They'll divorce you. They email me every now and then. They say, hey, man, I saw you on the internet. Look like you're still holding on. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because if it had not been. Let me tell you something. Them same two guys. We was tighter than pantyhose, four sizes small. Them same guys. We all got in trouble together. The difference between me and them, my mama was at home praying for me. They got kicked out, and I got promoted. Ain't like we did anything different. We was there, riding with them. Let me make this clear to you. You got to accept the power, the anointing, that God, you got to know that it exists and know that and stop pity-patting and playing with God and coming when you feel like it and anything, the sniffles keep you away from God. I was contemplating. My voice was hurting so bad yesterday. I called Mark and forgot what I was going to tell him. I called Elder Sean and I mentioned it to him, but I said, I'll get back to you. But let me tell you what happened. When Elder Sean stopped by my house, my daughter had gave me a 600 milligram Motrin. I said, hey, man, I'm feeling better. Soon as they left, seemed like, I'm serious. I had forgot she gave it to me. I was like, oh, I think I'm feeling a little better. But I wasn't. But here, when I got to reading that word, I said, God, are you healing folks and delivering folks? And here I am broadcasting you and publishing you and telling folks about you. Heal me, deliver me, and help me. And I'm thinking, hey, I got capable folks that can preach this word. I'll rest and get myself back together. And, you know, I'm thinking, wait a minute. I got a hot and ready word for God's folks. Amen. And the sad part is, folks have gotten lackadaisical. We were talking about Sunday school, and he was saying, you know, folks, you know, put a difference between clean and unclean, holy and unholy. But the stuff that got muddy, you know, I was stationed in a place where there was no gray area. In Korea, you either was possessed or you was trying to live right. Because you would be put to the test. You can't get a half a block without somebody offering you something illegal, immoral, or something that came with hooks. And they was bold about it. You go to buy something from the store, and it's girls, girls, drugs, drugs, liquor. I mean, no matter what. It wasn't no hiding it. And you know, that's what made church so powerful over there, because folks that was there. Because everybody else was there. But you know, now we got folks that nobody backslide no more. They ain't felt God in 30 years, but they still in church. Jesus gave it to me. Let my little light shine. And you ain't got enough power to glow in the dark. I'm just saying, folks don't backslide no more. When I was a kid, folks, when they stopped doing right, you'd have to find them. They wasn't going to show up. But nowadays, you know, they got cologne and eye drops and you know. I'm sorry, but there's a fire. Fire. I was listening to Apostle Gardner's CD about fire falling. And he talked about how it's a consuming fire, how it changes things down. Like on the inside of you, you got to understand something. When you really change in the inside, it's so important to you to meet God and to learn something new about God, because no matter what, I read the scripture and seem like sometimes stuff jump off the page and I know that, but that it'd be different. You get enlightenment when you read God's word and he wants you to know something, all of a sudden revelation jump off the page. And he show you what he means. And you know what else I found out? When you really show enough love, Jesus, it don't matter who preaching. Don't matter who's singing. Don't matter who praising and who not. Because you praising and you worshiping and you glorifying your God. So this same power which raised Jesus from the dead, this is the same fire, the same anointing, the same power that God wants to send in your life right now. He fell on all of them that heard his word. That's why it's important to stay in your word. That's why it's important to be here. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I know some of y'all feel like y'all know it all, but the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, and I'll show you things which thou knowest not. How? How you gonna do that? Because you called on him. Because you asked for it. And then you'll find out that in God there is no failure. And the one thing, in order to receive this fire, you got to be hungry. Blessed are them that hunger and thirst after righteousness. What you saying, Pastor? Hunger is the magnet that brings the fire and the power of God in your life. You got to be hungry and thirsty for what God has for you. You can't be tiptoeing around the tulips. You got to be serious. Let me tell you something. Some years ago, before God saved my little boy, I got a phone call in the middle of the night. Police said, do you own an I-30, a black I-30 Infinity? That's my son's car. Well, we're going to tow it if you don't come get it. Let me tell you what happened. He was in Gurnee at some house party. Now, that was his first mistake. In Gurnee, being an African-American man, at a house party. It was so many people in this house that when the police knocked on the front door and said it was the Gurnee police, all the children ran out the back door. Now, when they ran out the back door, they didn't stop running. They ran through a garden, knocked a wooden fence down, and kept running. So, when I got there to pick up my son's car, he was gone. Why? Because he followed the crowd out the back door. And when he told me, he said, Dad, when I stopped running, I was at the speedway on the other side of 41. He said, I just followed the crowd. It was so many kids. They only got two of them out of the whole crowd. Because the ones that kept running got away. He calling me, all of a sudden I'm getting a phone call from a payphone, and he's saying, Dad, I don't even know where I'm at. Why don't you know where you're at? Well, I'm at the speedway, but I don't know which way the car is. Why? Because when you in a herd, when you in a herd with a whole bunch of folks, you don't get a clear view. All you get is a rear view. Y'all see where I'm coming from? You running with a herd, and if you ain't the head buffalo, you don't get a clear view. All you get is a rear view. Does that make sense to anybody? He said, I just ran and I just kept running, and whoever was in front, I was following. He didn't even know he had ran over 41. He done ran over a main highway trying to get away when he should have already been at home. And so what happens in the church? If you're not going to God and asking for direction and asking him which way should I go, which way should I turn, if you're not keeping the lines of communication open, there's no way to get a clear understanding of what God wants from you if you're trying to get it from the Reader's Digest, from Yahoo News, from Dan Rather. Cronkite, one of them jokers. They might be gone now. Don Hasbrook. I don't know no more. But make this clear. So saints, stop following the crowd. Cause ain't no power. The only power they had was tear up that fence. Ran through the folks, just broke the fence down. And I showed up and left my wife's truck and drove my son's car to the gas station. He said, well, which way? He's so disoriented and confused. I'm like, son, is you drunk? No, no. And when he finished explaining, he said, we was just running. And, you know, I wasn't looking. I was running. And whoever was in front, I was just running. But that's what the enemy will do to you. He'll have you running and running and following your tail. And you won't get nowhere. And you'll think you got something, but you're just running, running, running. It'll have you doing things that don't make no sense to you. And by the time you get to where God would have you, it's only because he led you there. Let's wrap this up. Am I talking to anybody who's willing and hungry enough to stop running? To stop listening to stuff that ain't gonna help you? Smith Wigglesworth said that every soul touched by Pentecost should be a live wire. Now, I don't know if y'all know who Smith Wigglesworth was, but he was one of the pioneers of this Pentecostal, you know, and he was a pioneer of faith. And you know, they said that he didn't lay hands on folks. He just punched you in the chest. Now, I'm just going to tell you, he had to be full of God, because some of y'all would probably roll a shoulder on me. Ain't no turning the cheek. Turn the other cheek, yeah. But they said that Jesus had hit people and they just get delivered. Now, he had to be full of God, because I know how saints act. No, you didn't. You're going to speak in tongues, all right, but it's going to be, stop. Now, but your pastor is crazy. I read books, you know, trying to find out some new stuff. So, but they said he used to punch people and folks would fall out under the anointing of God. The power of God is going to seize your life, take hold of your life, and set your life on fire. So, what is Pastor Tim looking for? I'm looking for you to now stir up the gift. I'm looking for a church that's not just here for the music. Not just here because, you know, if I don't come, somebody going to call and ask why I didn't come. But come because of the love and the passion that's down on the inside of them. Don't nobody have to tell you to go to McDonald's. Don't nobody have to tell you to wake up and cook breakfast. Don't nobody have to tell you to drink water. Why? Because you need it. But you got to understand that when you show enough need God, shouldn't nobody have to beg you to be here? Shouldn't nobody have to beg you to pray? Shouldn't nobody have to beg you to fast? You know, it's just amazing. Babies, ain't nobody tell them they hungry. They tell you they hungry. Without words. They just get loud until you come take care of the problem. Maybe God ought to treat us that way. Maybe that's why preachers get so loud. So you would know that God wants you to do something different. Everyone's standing. I need it to fall on us. And the fact of the matter is, when it falls, it takes control. It seizes you. Word says our God is a consuming fire. When I was a kid, I got burnt by an iron. It didn't last long. Because as soon as the iron touched me, I jumped and ran. Why? Because fire has motivating power. The fire of God has motivating power. You can tell when somebody on fire. You ain't got to, you know, every now and then somebody call me, Pastor, do you need me to do something? You know, sometimes I almost faint. Because it's been so few and far between. But you know what? God has a way of passing the baton. Sometimes folks are just willing to dive right in and do the work of ministry. Listen, as long as we stay ministry, God can get the glory. But if we just want to be church as usual, fire don't fall on churches. Fire falls on people. Falls on you and me and us. The man of God said it was like fire shut up in his bone. Now, that I imagine that felt real bad. But whatever it was, it had to get out of his mouth. It had to be heard. Today is a new day. Whatever you didn't accomplish last year, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because you won't accomplish it last year. You're going to take care of that now. I told you last week, if you haven't spoke to God about it, it really ain't bothering you that much. Yeah. My dad used to tell a story about a dog that was stuck on a nail. And he would whine and whine and whine. And finally some man said, why don't the dog just get up and move off the nail? And the owner said, it ain't hurting him that bad. And the story never made sense until something addicted me. But when I realized that it was hurting me too bad to continue like this, there was one way out, and that was Jesus. I tried self-help. Self-help didn't work for me. Never worked for me. Now, I don't know. Maybe yourself is better than myself. But self-help didn't work for me. But when I turned it over to Jesus, I told y'all, for about 6 months straight, I got in a prayer line every Sunday. Finally, Dr. Kobe said, what's wrong with you? There ain't nothing wrong with me. I just feel like it's got to be more than I got the first time I got in this line, and I want it. I was hungry, starving. Because, you know, in the world, you can keep feeding a demon until you die. So you know what I was trying to do? Keep feeding my spirit till my flesh died. And let God arise and his enemies be scattered. But when I found out, I kept reading, I found out I could pray for myself, keep seeking God for myself. But I ain't stopped getting in that prayer line till I got what I wanted from the Lord. Is there not one that say, God, I'm tired of being powerless, fireless, joyless, no prayer life. But the word said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, which was quicken your mortal body. I mean, it'll animate you. It'll make you alive. But the altar is here to burn up everything. Wherever there's an altar, in Solomon's case, wherever there was a sacrifice, and whenever the word was preached, the fire of heaven came down from the Old to the New Testament. Is there not one that would say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Change that which is wrong and make it right. Change my heart, my mind. Change my direction. Give me this fire that Pastor preached about. Give me this anointing that won't allow me to be the same person I walked in here today. But when I leave this place, I'll leave and go a different way. If you need prayer, come now.